The Haines Public Safety Building gets another assessment. Native groups voice opposition to relaxing cruise ship wastewater standards. And a decision is made on local heliskiing permits for this season. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Marta Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. The Haynesborough Clerk has made a decision to renew permits for three heliskiing companies that operate in the Haines area. The decision is not usually noteworthy. Borough Clerk Julie Causey determines whether the permit should be renewed each year, and Borough Manager Mark Ernest allots a certain amount of skier days to each company. But this year, the interest was high because of an avalanche that killed a heliskiing guide and customer last year. The Dodoff family of California had requested the borough not renew the permit for Alaska Heliskiing, the company their son skied with when he died in a March avalanche. Causey issued a 15-page memo on Monday detailing the process and standards she used to make her decision to renew Alaska Heliskiing's permit. She said she issued the memo because of the significant interest in the community and beyond in the permit decision. The manager has not yet allotted skier days to the companies. We'll have more on this story in our Tuesday evening newscast. An engineer taking an in-depth look at the Haines Public Safety Building says the building's structural condition is generally fair to good. Chris Giannotti with P&D Engineers did the assessment at the request of the Borough Assembly after a facility assessment last year of seven borough buildings. In that analysis, engineers appraised the public safety building as in poor shape. Haynesborough Public Facilities Director Carlos Jimenez said the recent assessment is specific to the building's structure, while last year's assessment looked at the overall condition, space, and usability of the building.
This was just a structural assessment. And structurally, you know, it's somewhat sound. Obviously, the siding is in dire condition. But his assessment was strictly structural. But when you look at the building as a whole is where you have to start making big decisions on what we're going to do with it, you know.
Engineer Jason Gamash wrote in his report last year that because the building houses so many services, including police, jail, fire department, offices, storage, and assembly chambers, there are multiple concerns about codes. He said the parking bays and doors are not adequate for the fire equipment, the jail and processing area are not up to current standards, the dispatch area is, quote, gnarly, and there are several suspicious and possibly hazardous materials in some of the building's structure. Gamash also said the building was inefficient energy-wise, and because of the high value of the services housed in the building, it should be a top priority for the borough to address issues with it. Gamash also estimated it could cost around $3.5 million to build a new public safety building with similar facilities and space, and up to $8 million to build a new, expanded public services building. The Haynesborough Assembly approved an additional engineering assessment on the building to better understand if any other concerns could be addressed with remodeling or rehabilitation, or if a new building would be a better option. Giannotti, in his more recent structural assessment, said the building appears sound in many aspects, including the roofing, which will likely be able to hold for another 8 to 12 years. But he wrote the exterior and siding has several significant problems which will likely cause deterioration in the coming years. He also suggests addressing the building's crawl space, cracks in the exterior concrete ramp, stoops that do not meet code requirement, the floor framing, and other code and accessibility concerns. He said also the water pipes likely have a reduced life expectancy. Giannotti estimates the cost to address all these issues would reach just over $500,000 in project costs, although that did not include upgrades that might address any improvements to help the building comply with ADA, or American with Disabilities Act, standards. For example, Giannotti notes to add an elevator to the building would likely cost about $120,000. Giannotti also did not directly address energy costs in his recent report, but in his analysis from last year, Gamash calculated that a high-performance new construction building could save $7,000 in annual energy costs on the public safety building. Jimenez says it's up to the borough manager and assembly to decide how to use the analysis and decide what direction to go.
I believe that this will be the next step to talk to the manager and the assembly and see if we want to continue with assessments of this building. So do we continue with assessments and find out what the whole package is going to be and to bring it up to ADA compliance, or do we start to look at a new new building.
The borough may choose to discuss the report at the next regular assembly meeting scheduled for February 12th. The Central Council of the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska is opposing a bill that would change how Alaska regulates cruise ship wastewater. That's according to the Associated Press on Monday, the same day the House voted to pass the bill. The council represents about 28,000 people. In a letter that was being distributed to lawmakers Friday, the council said the proposal would lower water quality protections and the proposal wasn't based on the best available science. Governor Sean Parnell's bill stems from a preliminary report by a science advisory panel charged with looking at cruise ship pollution. Governor Sean Parnell's bill stems from a preliminary report by a science advisory panel charged with looking at cruise ship pollution. Parnell's Environmental Conservation Commissioner Larry Hartig has said the proposal would align rules for cruise ships with those for others that get discharge permits from the agency. The bill also would allow authorization of mixing zones if ships meet certain standards for treatment of discharge. Hartig has said the department can set restrictions for mixing zones. Critics say the proposal, SB 29 in the Senate, HB 80 in the House, would roll back provisions of a citizen initiative from 2006 requiring cruise ships meet state water quality standards when dumping wastewater. Hartig said in 2009, cruise companies weren't meeting the more rigorous standards set out by the initiative, at least for certain pollutants. The Alaska Cruise Association, in written testimony to the House Resources Committee, said 45 organizations and local governments had passed resolutions at the time urging action. Lawmakers ultimately passed legislation allowing the department to temporarily let cruise ships have the mixing zones. The measure also called for the advisory panel. A scientist on the panel has testified that she disagrees with several of the report's findings and understood it would undergo further review before being finalized. Haines resident Gershon Cohn co-authored the Alaska Cruise Ship Ballot Initiative. He's also taken the state to court over implementing the standards.
The agency has been unwilling to implement the law as it was passed in 2006. It's been now going on 7 years. And they have never issued a permit that was actually consistent with the law. The permit they issued in 2010, I sued to block because it was illegal, and the court found on all points that I was correct, and they told DEC to redo the permit. And, of course, DEC's response was to delay, and we all knew that they were delaying until they could get to a legislature where they'd be able to undo the initiative.
Legislators also noted the bill has breezed through committee hearings comparatively quick to most legislation. House Speaker Mike Chenault, a Republican from Nikiski, commented on the pace at a press availability on Friday.
That's pretty quick, considering what other bills I've seen move over there in the last few years.
It was at the same press availability on Friday that Speaker Chenault said he's not sure if the legislature should take up the Coastal Management Program issue this session. Voters last year rejected an initiative to establish a new program, but several lawmakers want the legislature to take it up. The speaker didn't rule out the possibility of legislation being introduced on coastal management, but he also said, quote, voters have spoken. That seems ironic to Cohen, who said some legislators don't seem to remember the discharge standards they are now trying to relax were originally implemented by voters.
And it's just so fascinating, really, when you watch this, if you can separate yourself from the issues just one step, and just look at the hypocrisy. You know, when it's convenient, they cite voter initiatives as a reason to act, and when it's not convenient, they undo what the voters passed by initiative.
The bill now goes to the Senate, where a companion bill has already passed the Senate Resources Committee and is awaiting a hearing in the Finance Committee. And in basketball, the Glacier Bear boys fell in both their games this weekend to Wrangell. Haines lost by 10 points on Friday, 46-56. The Wolves dominated the boards and kept the Bears' offense at bay, but they couldn't stop Colin Taylor from sinking 4 3-pointers and netting a total of 18 points. Justin Swinton came up with 10 points for the game. The next night, the Glacier Bears kept it closer. They came out slow in the first half, but got within striking distance in the fourth. But the Wrangell Wolves came through with another 45-42 win over Haynes. Taylor and Kai Franks each had 13 points for the Bears. Glacier Bear boys host Craig this weekend on Friday and Saturday. Girl Glacier Bears have another week off since the Wrangell girls were unable to travel to Haynes last weekend due to weather. The girls' team will travel to face Metlakatla on the 15th and 16th, immediately followed by a trip to Craig on the 17th and 18th. Skagway Panthers scrimmaged with Vanier this weekend. The next regular season games are Tuesday and Wednesday at home when they are hosting Heidelberg. They travel this weekend to play Hoonah on Friday and Saturday. Those games will air live on KHNS beginning at 8:30 a.m. Friday and 10 a.m. Saturday. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friednauer. Visit our news section online at khns.org or our KHNS News Facebook page. We're always open to your comments and appreciate hearing story ideas. And our website has more than just your local news. On our news page, you'll find news from sources around the region, state, greater U.S., and Canada. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.